AM BULOVA, full over watch time. WABC, New York, 880 on your dial. Travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of Tonight, Box Pop travels to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, to talk with men and women workers of the Douglas Aircraft Company, builders of the famous Douglas B-47, workhorse of the Army Air Force, that sturdy, rugged plane transporting troops, cargo, and battle casualties. Here are your two Box Poppers, Box Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Oklahoma City.
General Arnold asked you Douglas folks for 200 extra C-47s by July 1st. That's over and above your regular quota. Are you going to give them to him? Yes, folks, this is Fox Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull.
And those are some 8,000 patriotic men and women of Douglas, 20,000 or more employees from all walks of life who've given their answer to General Arnold, and we understand that they're well on their way to deliver even more planes than he asked for.
You know, out here they call these C-47s Wing Foreign Base, and with D-Day and H-Hour coming up, these planes are really hot.
Yes, Warren, and here beside me on the stage of Oklahoma Sorium is one of the most patriotic workers and one of the finest characters that we've ever met. She's still in her 50s, but she is a great grandmother. And we learn also that today is her 40th wedding anniversary. We want you to know our folks from Oklahoma City, Mrs. Mary K. Witt. Your knees are not clicking like a siren?
No.
Say, did I make a mistake? You are a great-grandmother at 68, aren't you, Ms. Witt?
Yes, I am.
A great-grandmother. Well, what's the kid? Is it a boy or girl? How old?
Girl, 16. Months old.
Uh-huh. Looking thing like you? Nah. By the way, Ms. Witt and all the rest of you folks, you know we have an alarm clock that goes off sometime during the program. Well, tonight, I can't tell you, as usual, what it's on, what's on it, or when it's going off. But I can tell you this, it's a surprise, and it's something big on it. Mm-hmm. Were you born in Oklahoma?
No, I was born in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Clarksville, Tennessee, that's a good state to come from, isn't it?
Yes, if I was back there, I'd come away again.
Oh, you would? You'd go right on back, aren't you? Have you been at Douglas very long?
Let's see, about 17 months.
17 months, and what's your job out there?
Well, I work in the upholstering department.
Doing, making something
making,
for the plane?
Yes, making covers for the engines.
Oh, those engine covers, yeah. Have you always been on that same job?
No, I first worked in the Nordic department.
In the what?
The Nordic.
Oh, they're those big tanks.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the work got too heavy, so they decided they'd better let me...
Well, you are a very little somebody, but you are a very young-looking grandmother, I'll say that. Great-grandmother. So what time do you have to get up in the morning to get out to the plant?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock,
that's
huh?
That's right.
And what time do you report to work?
7.
Mm-hmm. Well, is Mr. Witt work there, too? Or?
No, Mr. Witt's blind.
Oh, well, he's at home, then.
Yes, he stays
oh,
home.
Oh, that's right. Those beautiful, beautiful purses made out of leather that you had the other day.
Yes.
That's what he makes, isn't it?
Yes.
I think they're some of the prettiest things that I've ever seen.
Thank
Tell me, you've got sons and grandsons in the service?
Yes. I have a grandson in England and my son's in Africa.
In Africa?
Mm-hmm.
They're both all right, of course.
No, my son was injured.
Is he getting along all right?
Well, yes, he is now. He was injured in Italy when they had that farm that blew up the post office.
Oh, that explosion
yes.
of the post office. Well, how about your grandson in England?
Oh, he's fine.
Yeah?
Yes.
I guess over there he sees a lot of C-47s come rolling.
Yes, and he writes home and says every time he sees one, he knows grandmother and mother's been working on.
Grandmother and mother have been working on. Well, maybe he has. Wouldn't you say maybe did he has?
Oh, he has, yes. He writes and tells us.
Well, you have worked on practically everything that's been done out here, I understand.
Yes, I helped to make the first plane.
And everyone since then?
That's right.
Well, that's going some. How much time have you lost in all these 17 months?
About 5 days, I believe.
Just 5 days? That's what I call perfect.
No, it wasn't perfect. That my first year would have been perfect, but I lost 4 minutes. I was late one morning, but...
4 minutes? Horrible. I still say that's perfect.
No?
No?
No, it isn't perfect. Something that can't be erased. When you fail to do your duty, well, you can't erase it.
You really take that work seriously, don't you, Miss Witt?
That's right. It just gets into your blood when you get out there. You want to do something. You want to just stay right in there. Stay hooked up.
What made you feel that way? What makes you feel that way? Because of the son, the grandson, or
no,
something else?
No, I'm not the only one that has sons. As an American citizen, I think it's my duty to feel that.
And you certainly do it, Ms. Witt.
That's right.
You bet. There's no wonder, folks, that Douglas keeps ahead even of the heaviest kind of schedules when we've got folks like Mrs. Witt working out there. And we've met lots of others like her, too. Well, Ms. Witt, the old clock hasn't gone off yet, and it's time now for our Bromo Seltzer gifts to you, something we hope that you like and remember us by tonight. For Mr. Witt, who is, as you say, at home all day, and so that he can listen to you, or tonight maybe, some other night, maybe on, we've got one of these push-button radios. You know the kind that you can push the button and get your station?
Yes.
It's a doggone good one, too. And for your 40th wedding anniversary, I don't know what you're supposed to give on the 40th, but we've got a very lovely sterling silver three-piece tea set, Queen Anne pattern. Look at it over there. You like it?
Oh, my. I'll just have to get married again.
Thank you a lot, Mrs. Witt. We've certainly enjoyed having you. All right, Warren.
An interesting coincidence happened here in Oklahoma just at the time Box Pop came here to Douglas Aircraft to talk about their C-47.
Yes, starting this morning, the Oklahoma State Druggists, 933 of them, have fixed a quota of $660,000 in war bond sales for May to buy six big Douglas C-47 ambulance planes. They need the support of all you folks in Oklahoma, so go to your neighborhood drugstore, buy a bond, and help send six Douglas ambulance planes to our wounded men at the front. They need them.
Folks, we want to clear up one point for those who may not know. Z-47s are a military adaptation of the DC-3s used on most of our airlines. Now, in addition to their use as ambulance planes and troop carriers, C-47s, also called Skytrains, fly probably the longest air freight route in the world. From here across Africa, Persia, India to China. Now here's a man just back from flying the last and most dangerous leg of that haul from India over the hump to China. He's a test pilot here at Douglas. Tall, dark, smiling, Howard Butts. Howard, were you one of these flying Humpty Dumpties that we've read about in the Reader's Digest?
No, Warren. I was, what was commonly known in India as one of the prima donnas of the Far East. The China National Aviation Corporation was our company over there.
Oh, you were flying things for the Chinese government?
That's right.
I see. What sort of things?
Well, we flew all the vital supplies of the Chinese. We were the only source of supply the Chinese had. Mm-hmm. The Air Transport Command cooperated with us, or rather we with them, and that was the way we got things into China over the hump.
I see. Well, you went over much the same territory as the ATC, didn't you?
Identical routes the Air Transport Command had, and we carried the same supplies that they did.
What sort of planes did you use?
C-47s.
How do they work?
They're the best airplane in the world for the type of work we did over there, and I should say the best transport plane in the world today of its type.
What are flying conditions over the hump, Howard?
Well, Warren, in China, the hump is, as you know, altitudes. We fly from 16 to 20,000 feet. We're on oxygen all the time. And 30% of our time, we're on instruments. And we shoot ceilings over there that airline pilots over here would walk away from. And we also carry loads on the C-47 from 30 to 33,000 pounds gross, which is no military secret. And that's something.
Oh, boy. And they really, it's soupy going over there. It's
really rough.
We know it's about the most dangerous flying in the world. Did you lose many men?
Yes, Warren. We did lose some men, but Mother Nature took care of them more than the Japs.
Oh, really? More from the weather than from the Japs. Well, the Japs did get some of your men.
Yes, one case in particular I can remember. We had a chap that was flying. He was captain, just his second trip across, and he was attacked by three Jap planes, and he more or less gave us a play-by-play description of his end.
You heard him over the radio?
Yes, he had his transmitter on and was transmitting all the time to the station as to what was happening, and these Japs got down on him, and he went close to the ground in the valley, and to show you what grit he had, when they got him at last, well, we have an expression that's used in the radio terms called over and out, and that's what he used when he went away.
That's the last you heard of him?
The last we heard of
him. Well, there are all those fellows in the ATC and in your outfit. They're a pretty brave, rugged lot. Howard, tell us about your job as test pilot.
Well, Warren, out here we we do a job that's probably the most essential that there is, or the type of work that we have to do. We take these airplanes off the line. We have what we call a squawk sheet, which is nothing more than a piece of paper that has individual items that we must test for Army acceptance for the airplane. And it's...
Every plane is tested thoroughly.
Every plane is tested thoroughly.
Before the Army Materiel Command takes it over.
That's correct.
Army Air Forces.
That's right.
Well, we understand that your department has an excellent safety record, Howard.
Well, the Douglas people have set up out here probably the finest safety record in the country. We haven't even scratched an airplane since the production of the airplanes began here, and that's only due to the fine cooperation that we get with the people working on the line and with the inspectors. And then last but not least is Mike Bates, who is our chief test pilot. He sets up minimums for us to fly by, and we have to obey them, or that's all there is to it.
Exactly. Well, we want to thank you very much, Howard, for this interesting chat. Bromo Seltzer has for you this 100% waterproof watch that winds itself. It's anti-magnetic and shockproof, too. It's the famous Meadow watch. And really a rare find these days, a beautiful mahogany record player. And the famous Oklahoma album done by the original cast of that smash hit. Also, for your record player, a recording of your interview, which, of course, everyone on Vox Pop receives. Thank you very much, and good luck
to you. Thank you, Vox. Thank you, Vox Pop.
Warren, tell the folks what to do when a common sick headache has them feeling miserable.
Oh, you mean when their head's aching and consequently nerves are jumpy and stomach's upset?
That's right.
Well, that's simple. Take the good advice of our talking Vox Pop train. And, of course, that means take a Bromo Seltzer. We all know it isn't always just the pain in your head that makes a headache so dreadful. Frazzled nerves and upset stomach may go along with it. And when you're suffering from that kind of three-way misery, you want and need relief from all three. And our Vox Pop train tells you how you can get it.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Yes, sirree. Bromo Seltzer quickly relieves the aching pain in the head.
Bromo Seltzer helps quiet jumpy nerves.
Bromo Seltzer helps settle upset stomach.
You can take Bromo Seltzer while it's still fizzing or after it settles down.
Use it as directed on the package. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. For an ordinary headache, get fast relief the effective way.
Fight headache three ways. Bromo Seltzer.
I like that old Bromo Seltzer train, you bet. Folks, here's a Douglas aircraft worker who is respected and admired by all who know him. He works 7 days a week at the plant. He puts in two nights a week at a company school. He puts in two nights a week as cub master of Pack 37, Boy Scout Cubs. And he's taken a correspondence course on air conditioning on the side. Though for the life of me, I can't see what side he's putting it on. Folks, from Oklahoma City, we want you to know Mr. Edison O. Dennis.
You may not have several sides to it, though.
Mr. Dennis, you should lose weight with that heavy schedule. What do you weigh?
Oh, I weigh like Saturday night, I think, about 249.
Couldn't you squeeze just one more little pound on that, huh?
Might have had a cup of beef pie.
Yeah. Do that all right. Okay, what's your job here, Douglas?
Jigging, maintaining. Gordon.
What's doing what?
Welder.
Oh, you're a welder. Did you weld before you came to Douglas?
Yes, sir.
Why, where?
I welded in the oil fields pipeline.
Oh, you're an oil field here.
Yeah,
well,
about 13 years.
Played that long years ago myself, right after the last war. Do you do the same job every day?
No, sir. Each job is different.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you mean by that,
Well, a bank mechanic's allowed to bring in one job for this minute. The next minute, another advanced mechanic will bring in another job.
You've got to weld any kind of material for
any kind of material, any place, and any place.
And furthermore, they improve the planes every few days.
Oh, yeah.
Every two, don't they? Have you missed much time here in the last 17 months that you've been out there?
No, I've only missed 3.5 hours in the last 17 months.
3.5 hours?
Yeah.
What happened? Did you oversleep?
No, I started work when one was crossed over.
Well, that's tough, though. That's justifiable, huh? Say, do you and Miss Dennis have any children?
Yes, sir. We have three.
Three children?
Yes.
Oh, that's fine. You love your home and children, sir.
Oh, yeah, we love it, sir.
Are they your own children?
No, we don't have any children of our own. They're all three adopted children.
All three, huh?
Yes.
What are they, boys?
Well, two of them are boys, and one of them is young. She's a girl. She's only 15 years old.
You know, that's one of the things I heard about you, that you did love home and you did love family. And I can understand now why, if you had no children of your own, you just had to have them around you. So you're going to expect to adopt any more?
Oh, I think so, yes.
Boy or girl?
I think we ought to have a little something for the girl.
I think you ought to, too. How old did you say she was?
She's 15 months.
Uh-huh. Well, talking?
Well, a little bit.
What did she say to you, anything?
Oh, she said that even she was. She hasn't learned past her nickel yet, though.
Gee, what's the matter with her? 15 months old? Come on, they get that soon enough.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, there is our alarm clock. And we said tonight something big was going to go on that alarm clock, and it is big. Boys, will you help push out that upright piano, which is in pretty darn good shape? Look at it there. Can you use it?
Yes,
use it. I know somebody to buy it.
I can use it.
You can use it.
Well,
that's
fine.
The
boys can.
Well, I'm sure glad you got it, then, if you can use it. Say, Ms. Witt tells me, too, that she's talking about pianos and all, that you're quite a singer.
Well, I sing a little.
A little, huh? What do you sing?
Baritone, bass? Sing terrible. Terrible.
That's not what I heard. That ain't the way I hear it. who sings? You sing alone? Or?
No, we sang during rest periods out of the plant.
A quartet?
Yes.
During rest periods?
Yes.
That's a good morale builder. So what do you sing, Mr.?
We sing sacred music.
And you find the folks like it out there,
well,
too, don't
they seem to enjoy it. They gather around quite frequently.
I wish I could have heard you sing. We were out there the other day. And by the way, Mr. Dennis, through you, I want to say to all the Oklahoma City Douglas aircraft workers that Vox Pop has never visited a busier, a cleaner, a more determined to do the job group than you folks out there at the Douglas plant. It's an inspiration to anyone just to walk through that nearly mile-long production line. Well, it's a lot of fun talking to you, but the time has come for good old Bromo Seltzer to, through me, to hand you some things we hope you'll like, in addition to the piano which the clock brought you. First, we've got two pairs of those famous North Star blankets. It's rose pink, all wool, lion, you know, around the edges. Oh, boy. Eat and fear next winter. Now, as long as one of the boys has got one, we found out about this. You know, our scouts went into it.
Yeah.
And the other one hasn't. We thought it nothing but fair to bring along a fine, reconditioned, burnished, silver-frame bicycle. Oh, boy. It's from Moore's Cycle Shop here in Oklahoma City. Thank you a lot. Mighty glad to have had you. Okay, Warren. Folks, you heard Mrs. Witt tell a few minutes ago about her grandson thrilled at the sight of C-47s landing in England. Here's a man who saw them winging through a different part of the world. He's a propeller mechanic and for almost 2 years worked in Africa for Douglas under the Army Air Force. He's 27, married, tall, and husky. Stuart Hillman, otherwise known as Hank. Tell us where the ace comes from.
Oh, I got that one. I was just a little pup.
I thought maybe you picked it up in a card game.
I'd like to have.
Well, say, before you get around to Africa, what's your job here?
Oh, my job out here at Douglas is working out around the flight line there, working on propellers. Occasionally we have a little trouble with them out there, and it's usually my turn to go out and see if we can get it straightened out.
Well, they're pretty complicated mechanisms, aren't they?
Oh, they have quite a few parts to them. They get complicated sometimes.
Well, can you tell us the principle of the variable pitch propeller that they use?
Well, you can compare it just about the same as a gear shift on an automobile. Uh-huh. When the pilot wants to take off, he puts it in low pitch, mm-hmm. or low gear, as you mm-hmm. would. He raises his motor, gets an extreme amount of power by turning his engine up fast. Mm-hmm. Then as he gets up a little ways, he puts it into what you'd call second gear. Shifts the pitch of the propeller up so it takes a little better bite. Mm-hmm. Then as he gets up to the altitude he wants to cruise at, he wants to slow his engine down and not race it, he pulls his pitch controls back and puts the propeller in a higher pitch or high gear.
Good. That's the first time I ever heard that, and I'm certainly a layman on these things. Say, how did you learn about propellers anyway?
Well, I started out in ham standard. I started polishing the blades.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mean from the ground up, then?
Yeah, it was a pretty nutty job to start with.
Uh-huh. Well, why were you sent over to Africa?
Well, we were sent over there to set up a base in Africa that was formerly an Italian airfield. Mm-hmm. It was captured just before we got there by the English mm-hmm. from the Italians.
Where was it?
There was an Italian East Africa. It was up about 7,200 feet up in the mountains, mm-hmm. about 90 miles inland from the seacoast.
I see. Well, you didn't start it from scratch then?
Well, we started building up the buildings. There was a small Italian airfield there to start with, and we didn't have any tools to work with. We just had to start in sort of with a monkey wrench and a screwdriver.
Oh, you really had
going.
You had to improvise then?
Yes, we had one occasion there where these propeller blades are coming in. P-40s had come in with the blades, propeller blades bent back from belly landings. First, we didn't have any hydraulic presses. We had to make a sort of a big heavy metal clamp there and then take a long wooden pole, make a clamp out of the end of that, and just four or five of us jump on it.
That's
just
how you do
down on it.
Well, that's good old Yankee ingenuity. Say, did you see any wild game around there?
Oh, yes, there were some pretty big hyenas around there. Mm-hmm. They stayed away from camp. And then we had these big baboons over there.
Oh, you have them there, too.
Sticking on me.
Did they bother you any?
Well, the old ones are pretty vicious, but they stayed away from camp pretty well. But the young ones, the natives would catch them, and we'd buy them for a pack of cigarettes or a cigar. Uh-huh. And they'd grow up around the camp and got pretty tame. Uh-huh. They used to bother us in the morning sometimes. Just about sunup, they'd get up on the roof of the barracks up and get run around playing a sort of a little game they had.
Oh, I see. But do you ever want to go back to that part of the world?
Well, under some conditions, I'd like to.
You mean after the war, I mean.
There's one place I'd like to get back to, and that's in King Cheops' pyramid.
Why?
It's up in one of the great pyramids. Well, up in the king's burial chamber up there, when we were coming back, I put a little two-piaster coin up in a crack about 7 feet up in the wall.
Uh-huh.
Sometime I'd like to go back and get it. It's got my initials on it.
Well, I hope you make it and hope the coin is still there. Ace, it's been fun talking to you. Bromo Seltzer has for you this fine all-wool Shetland and cashmere leisure jacket with leather buttons and an unusual hostess tray of limed oak with collapsible legs. The tray is lined with gaily colored, hand-painted Mexican tile. Do you think you and the missus can use that?
We certainly can.
Ah, thank you very much. Good luck to you, Stuart.
Hey, thank you, Warren.
Folks, many of you have been relying on Bromo Seltzer for a long time, but a gentleman from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is one of its earliest users.
Folks, Fox is talking about Mr. Leon H. Oppenheim, who writes, "Years ago, my dad ran a chain of soft drink stands in the South. I used to open up the main tent in the morning and serve customers until 10 o'clock at night. Sometimes after a trying day, I'd get a miserable headache. Then my granddad, 75 at the time, would give me a Bromo Seltzer, and in a little while, I'd be feeling more like myself again. That was 40 years ago, and I've never been without Bromo Seltzer since."
Good for you, Mr. Oppenheim. There are many others like you, too, for Bromo Seltzer has been on the market for over 50 years, and today it's more popular than ever.
No wonder. In these trying times, you never know when an ordinary headache is going to come. But you do know there's quick, effective relief in that big blue bottle. So keep it handy. Get Bromo Seltzer at your drugstore tomorrow. Then, next time a common sick headache sneaks up on you, you'll be prepared to get quick, effective relief with Bromo Seltzer.
And that's right. Will you, Warren, help out just a little bit? Folks, in war plants all over the country, physically handicapped men and women have been taking a big part in war production. We're going to talk to one of many here at Douglas who are successfully helping to build these much-needed C-47s. He's standing beside me at the microphone with his seeing-eyed dog, Luddy. Folks, Mr. Charles Gilliam.
Hello,
Friday, how long have you been blind?
Since I was fooling with the gun about 18 years ago.
Fooling with a gun. I'm glad That's you right. said it that way. Been at Douglas very long?
9 months.
What you doing out there?
Filing and burying.
Uh-huh. Don't it get sort of lonesome out there to plant all alone all day?
Oh, not too lonesome. I have a pretty good-looking woman pretty close to me most of the time.
Pretty good-looking lady close to you? Warren, bring that pretty good-looking lady up here, will you, and take over.
Yes, we want to introduce the young lady who works at the bench right beside Charlie. It's Mrs. Gillum. Mrs. Gillum. I'd like to ask you how long you two have been married.
I'm not sure, Warren. Just how long?
8 years.
Just a man, not to be sure. It's been 8 years, huh?
Yes.
Well, was it love at first sight?
No, I don't believe so.
No? How did it happen?
Well, I was taking in a convention over here, and she happened to be there, and she just took for me.
She took for you,
yeah.
Huh? And so here you are. I know you're working together, and you must be with each other almost 24 hours a day. How do you two get along?
Oh, good.
You do? Well, what's your secret?
Oh, give and take.
Give and take, huh? Well, that
mostly
is...
take on the man's part.
Mrs. Gillum, do you make Charlie help with the housework?
Yes, everything except cooking. He balks there.
He balks at that, but he does everything else?
Yes.
Oh, that's fine. I think he's doing a good job at home then. Charlie, can you visualize a C-47? Do you have any idea what it looks like?
Well, I've been in one out there, Warren. I know they're a mighty big ship.
Mm-hmm. But that's all. You just know they're big.
I know they're plenty big.
Well, how about... Oh, listen to Luddy down there. He doesn't like being on the air, does he?
That's his first time.
How about Mrs. Gillum? Can you visualize her?
Well, that's at times. You know, if I'm in a very good mood, and she is too, and more or less giving in to me, she's pretty good looking.
Yeah.
But now, if I'm mad and she is too, well, then she's pretty ugly then.
That's an idea I never
That's
thought of.
That's the advantage of being blind. You know, you can visualize them just like you want them.
Well, you seem to have a lot of fun together. How about the days when you were tuning pianos? Did you ever have anything interesting happen?
Yes. One day he walked up to a porch and the wind was blowing and rocked a chair and he spoke to the chair. He thought it was a lady speaking to him.
And you had a good laugh about that. Say, tell us about Luddy, your seeing eye dog. Is he on the job every day?
Yes, he's on the job every day.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
Does he get along all right in the factory?
Yes, he sleeps most of the time until along a few minutes before the 3:30 whistle while he's up and ready to go.
He knows when the whistle's going to blow?
He knows when the whistle goes to blow.
Is he that intelligent?
Well, he seems to be.
Oh, that's wonderful. Say, is there anything else that you can tell us about Luddy?
Well, he's on the job every day.
Well, has he been with you long? I mean, when you used to tune your pianos?
Oh, yes. For about the last 5 years, I got him 5 years ago.
And he always knew when he finished tuning, he could tell the last note and he'd be ready to go home.
Oh, he's musical, too, huh? Well, Charlie and Mrs. Gillum, it's been an inspiration to meet and talk with you. And we want to thank you for being such swell people. Bromo Seltzer has for you, Charlie, something that the Mrs. told us that you could use very, very well. It's a table model radio.
Oh,
it's
boy.
To
that's
go
fine.
Right by your bed.
That's fine.
For you, Mrs. Gillum, we have an oval Sheraton coffee table with a glass top. And while you're seated there serving coffee, here's something for you to wear. It's a canary yellow hostess gown with a wide band of black and violet taffeta around the bottom.
Oh,
now, wait a minute. For Luddy, we mustn't forget him. Here is an indefinite supply of kennel ration. And Luddy, Luddy, because you've been on the job every day, you've been a very good dog, we have something special that Mr. Eck down at the Biltmore helped us to get. It's a terrific bone with a big red ribbon. thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Charles Gillum and Luddy. Good luck to both of you.
You've heard six of many, many thousands of Douglas folks who are working round the clock and doing one of the outstanding production jobs in the country today.
Yes, we'd like to stay longer with our Douglas aircraft friends, but now we're headed for the Army Air Evacuation Center, Bowman Field, Kentucky.
Excuse me just a minute, Parks. Here's a long-distance call for you and Warren from Mr. Pete Weaver, State Secretary of the Oklahoma Druggists Fund Drive. The Oklahoma Druggists are out to raise enough money for six Douglas ambulance planes. Say hello, Parks.
Hello, Mr. Weaver. How much did you Oklahoma druggist raise the first day? Oh, say, that's fine. That's enough for two ambulance planes, isn't it? Yes, sir. I guess you know that ties in perfectly with Vox Pop next Monday. We'll be talking with nurses and patients who use those Douglas ambulance planes, so keep us posted. We report against next Monday. Thanks for calling. Good night, Mr. Weaver.
We're talking now to folks in Oklahoma. During May, when you buy Bromo Seltzer from your drugstore, buy a bond, too, and you'll help buy those six ambulance planes.
Till next Monday with our air nurses and others from Bowman Field, Kentucky. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, a show that travels America next week, when Parks and Warren visit Bowman Field. Friends, this week and every week when you visit your druggist, bear in mind that he's working harder than ever to serve you in spite of serious handicaps. And remember,
by getting three ways.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.